You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 8. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. Your day, your time, God, to bring to us and for us that which would help us proceed into the next moments of time more efficiently and more pleasing to Thee. So God, here we are, and thank you. You're able to do and be beyond all that we can ask or think. So thank you very much for being always who you are. Thank you, God. So deal with us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Now, in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, looking at chapter 13 in particular, and God is helping the disciples understand. They've been with him, and they will have been with him 3 1/3 years. In the process, in the journey, they are listening, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he began his public ministry, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in the process of all of that, the general Jewish community rejected him. They didn't believe. They just didn't believe. And that was very hard for them. And so our Lord would speak in parables, using parables, which we did in chapter 13. And therefore, the disciples who have been with him wanted to know, why doesn't he say differently to them? Why does he use parables? And then he went to proceed to help them. And he helped them by what? Understanding what was happening. God and his word were being given, as had been given in the Old Testament, was being given now by God himself in Christ, and would be given. And they needed to understand how this all worked. So the Old Testament doesn't end with Israel cheering and honoring God like in Malachi. They don't end that way. And in the days of the apostles, the disciples, they aren't believing. He's going to go to the cross, and the cross is going to be the grand rejection and unbelief of all that he is. They reject him. Israel reject him. We have no king but Caesar. So there's rejection and unbelief. That's where we are. History, looking at history. And you would say, well, why God the Creator, God who created us, et cetera, saves us, able to save us? Why isn't that obvious? And God is helping understand how history works itself out. So Matthew 13, as we did, is helping us understand God himself gives his word, even in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives his word. And how do people react to his word? Before the cross, after the cross, the age of grace, now church age, tribulation into the kingdom. You want to know how? How does it work? God is helping them understand how it goes. Now, so when we come to Luke, remember the three windows to look at the parables, Mark, Luke, and Matthew. And here in Luke chapter 8, we shared in verse 15, remember the seed 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. So when we come to verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, having heard it, keep it, and bring forth fruit, bearing fruit, with patience or in patience. And that helps us Matthew doesn't do that for us. Mark doesn't do that for us. Luke is used to tell us that little wonderful way with patience, in patience. Patience means holding up, bearing up under. You got a load on top of your shoulders, and you don't try to get out of it from under it. You carry it. There's 10 people carrying it with you. 8 of them disappear. You still carry it. They all disappear. You still carry it. You're carrying patience, bearing the load. You hold it all the way. You keep carrying the load. It's your responsibility. The word endurance is the word. So how are we going to make it? And we shared all these things last time. So here's the patience, bearing up under the load. We did all that. And so what are we doing? This Isaiah 28, the seed is planted, the farmers, everyone knows, the farmers know how to plant and everything, and they plant different seeds and herbs and vegetables and do all of that, and all of it takes time and difference. You have to understand planting one thing, feeding and providing and waiting for the growth, all of that varies. And what's the word? You've got to wait. You plant and you wait. And God lets everything, the good farmer knows it all has to work out. The one kind of plant will grow one way, another kind of plant will grow another way. And you have to understand planting them, waiting for the harvest, when to harvest, how to harvest. That's what the farmer has to do. You can't just go put the seed in the ground, go to bed and get up in the morning like Jack and the Beanstalk, and the thing has gone up to the sky. You can't do that. You have to understand, you wait. So here's the believing heart, good ground, the believing heart. The believing heart has to what? Wait, and let everything outwork itself. You can't just have grow up and physically and mentally, and spiritually. You have to work through everything. Therefore, impatience. Now, adding that one more time, over to James is our little word again. And that will lead us to the next thing. James in chapter 5. And you will note, please. James chapter 5, in the light of the context, may I go directly, if I can, to verse 17. Look at our little word. To bear up under, etc. Be patient. Remember, James is up front with lots of persecution. Things haven't developed very much comparatively, but they're right there. Be patient. Bear up under, therefore, endure, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the farmer, waiteth for the precious seed of the earth, and hath long patience, there's your word, you have to wait for everything to grow, for it until he receive the early and latter rain. In other words, you got to let all the elements work. Verse 8, be ye therefore, as the farmer waits for the seed, you, believing heart, be waiting, enduring, patient. Be ye also patient, verse 8, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's coming near. You got to wait, though. Everything has to, what are we doing? The church is waiting for its coming. You have to understand. The things have to happen in the world which they are. Now, keep going a little further, though. If I can, sliding in the light of time, verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Learn something from history. Learn something from those that are ahead of us. Learn something. And then in particular, verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure, there's your word, patience, endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Now God, here's Job. God uses him as patience. And remember, look at Job and the chapters, and we did all of those things, and you know them. Job, what did he do? God allowed punishment. God allowed the devil to get after him, and the devil did all his things, and Job had to work through them. He had to wait like the harvest. Why did God let this happen to me? And he had to sit and work through it week after week, month after month, as he went through all of the hardship physically and everything. He had to wait through it. That's what he had to do. And he had to wait for the right time, and God knew the right time, and God allowed him to go through it. And then at the right time, God came, moved, took it all away, and God did a wonderful thing for him. And Job said, thank you for the school of thank you for the education, thank you for the experience. God, I had no idea how, like we did this morning, awesome you are. I had no idea, Job said, of how awesome you are. You are something else, God. And Job learned that. Now, having said that, back over to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, picking up, please. And in Matthew, remember chapter 13, now we're looking at here, all. So we looked at the good ground, verse 23, 13:23. And we did it. So here's all the different kinds of people respond to God's word in all kinds of different ways. Verse 23 finds the good ground, and etc. And he receiveth the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. There's the word we looked at, to bring forth, to make happen, to do it. And some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now, having said the seed goes in the ground, God, all the humans have, God wants to reach them. God gives has his word. And people can have his word, and either they believe or they don't believe, either they play with it and don't go anywhere, or they believe and go and grow, as it were, as being saved. Now, having said that, now you're going to, God, what are you going to do? Now, what do we know in the process? Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, that's the devil, we did, and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Now, here's the devil himself, Satan, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Here he is. He's in charge. Now, here's all history taking place before the cross, after the cross, now, until the tribulation. Here's the devil doing his thing. Now, God, what do we know? What does the devil do? Is he let just this seed business, and people can hear the word and see the word and believe it or would not believe it? They can do it and just go, no, it isn't going to be that simple. And so God now adds a second parable to help understand how it's going to go. Is it just going to be a simple thing? Oh, no. No, it's not going to be a simple journey. And therefore, chapter 13, picking up, please, in verse 24. And what do we know? Now, the devil knows, and the devil understands, that here's the Bible in your hand, God's word, and here's the only book in all the world like it, God's word. And then here's all the other, everything else. And God's word is there. Now, why can't we just have this book and then all the other books? And then people can choose to read God's word and believe it or not. Now, but it isn't going to be that simple. No, because the devil doesn't want to have no more than Putin over there in Ukraine wants to have a losing situation. You don't want to have a losing situation. And the devil doesn't want a losing situation. So, the system, negative, positive, believe, don't believe, go to church, don't go to church, all these different things. That isn't quite enough. We've got to do a little more. If you're the devil, and the devil does, and he's quite smart, he's going to go and say, and so are the bad guys, the very smart, in our country and elsewhere. They aren't stupid. They know how to play the game. And they play the game because there are no rules. You play the game to win. That's what you do, to get your objective. Now, so here's the parable. God is going to help them understand. You need to understand how it's going to go. It isn't going to go simple. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in the field, in his field. We got that, the good man, we're going to do that. And we have over to chapter 13. Remember, God is going to explain this whole parable, so we're going to be doing it. And so over, if I can, in verse 36, remember the disciple, they want to know. Verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares and of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So we don't have to guess anything. The Son of Man. God is busy in Christ sowing the seed. Okay. Now hang on. Sowing the seed. And that's what God's going to give an illustration. God's still God, doing what he's doing. Now, having said good seed in the ground all has to do is receive it, and the seed will produce fruit and all of the wonderful things. A heart that believes, receives Christ, gets saved, wonderful. But, verse 26, 25, but while the men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. So everything looks okay, seems okay, but the devil isn't going to, the devil knows he's not going to win. On this system, it's too many people are going to get saved. Too many people are going to get with it. So we can't have that through history. So God, we're going to have to go. So the good seed is the son, Jack, back over to chapter 30. Chapter 13 and in verse 38. The field is the world. The word wheeled, the world there is cosmos, the whole earth. That is not, the whole earth is involved. Everything from north, south, east, and west. The field is the world. The good seed, isn't the word of God this time? No. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, the believing heart. People that believe the kingdom of God, God rules the kingdom of God, mysteries of the kingdom of God, that's what we're looking at. And the believing hearts are trusting God who's king. So come to verse 38 again. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So we already know the wheat is actually the believing heart. And the tares are the unbelieving heart, is unbelieving. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so the good seed is sown in the daytime. That's normal, that's what you do. You don't go into the garden, into the field at night, you do it during the daytime. So the good seed is there, but the bad seed comes along at night while men sleep. They have to be sleeping. Because otherwise, the enemy is going to come in. And that's what they want to know. I'll read it so you see it. Chapter 13 and verse 26. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? The answer is, of course you did. From whence then hath these tares, where did these tares come from? Well, they came at night, and the enemy came in and sowed them in the same field. Verse 28, and he said unto them, the enemy, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? Shouldn't we get rid of all these weeds, all these tares? Shouldn't we do that? No, you can't do that. You don't want to do that. Why not? The devil isn't stupid. And the devil knows how to play the game to keep people thinking wrong, to keep you deceived, keep you deceived. Now, hang on. So therefore, verse 30, let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them and gather the wheat into my barn, as it were, the granary. Now, having done all that, having said that, here we are looking, and the enemy has sown the tares in there. And you can't go and get rid of the tares. So you have to understand, the enemy has done this. Now, how can the enemy, why does the enemy do this? Because in the nighttime, not in the daytime, you can't do it clear. You have to do it in a subtle way that doesn't look obvious. If you're going to go and trick and play the game, you got to look like you're playing fair, but you really aren't playing fair. Look like you're trying to be fair and everyone get everything when it isn't really true at all. So now, having said that little bit, so the men, over to John chapter 3 again. The enemy is going. So why is it at night, as you know? John chapter 3, picking up in, if I can, in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So why are people saved, lost? Because they don't believe. It isn't because they're sinners and that God has already forgiven them. That's why they could be created. We've shared all these things. That God could be created you can give the gospel, good news to anybody. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we can do that. Why? Because God has died on the cross for them, everyone that's born on planet Earth. Otherwise, we wouldn't be born. So therefore, they need to believe. And the sin, the problem is, you aren't believing. It isn't because you're a sinner. It's because you aren't believing. Christ died for the sin. You aren't believing him. So therefore, verse 19, why isn't there a receiving the seed? Why isn't the word of God being honored? Because, verse 19, this is the condemnation, judgment, that light has come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They love darkness. They love darkness. So when's the enemy going to work? He has to work in the dark. That's why if we walk in the light as he is in the light, John 1:7, and we're cleansed and we're kept, that's how the only way we can live, because darkness is everywhere. And men love darkness. They pursue darkness. So in the process as they hate the light. Now, so here's the believing heart. So put pieces together here. Here's the believing heart. And the believing heart is looking for light and to walk in the light. But the unsaved world love darkness. And that's why the devil is the lord of darkness. He's the ruler, the prince of darkness. So darkness, so we stay. So, but you can't have people walking in the light, in a world that isn't, that loves darkness, because darkness hates the light. So therefore, and since this, we've got to do something, we've got to put the tares in the ground. That's what we've got to do. We've got to plant the tares. Now, having said that, over to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And perhaps it will help. I was going to wait, but let me help. The wheat and the tares, what you need to know about wheat and tares. Tare is the word darnel. Darnel is the word. It's a special plant, a weed, that grows over there in Palestine, etc. And you don't care the technical name, timula, tarol. Durnell, Donnell, the Tears. Now, you won't see this, just you guys up front, way back there you can't see. Now, but over here is a Durnell, and over here is a piece of barley. There's another sheet I have that's on wheat, but this is similar, barley, wheat, barley. And so what it is, these two plants grow. When they grow, and if you think a big field of wheat, and I come in and I sow Durnell. Durnell is so similar, 27 inches high, plus or minus, the same as wheat. And so therefore, Durnell is what? It's so close to wheat when it's growing. You can't tell the difference, which is the Durnell, which is the Durnell, and which is the wheat. And that, to boot, it has to grow. And what did the Lord say? I've got to wait till it grows, till it grows. Don't touch it. What is the second thing about this? Durnell, the in the middle of the Durnell, is the Durnell in the grains, is a poisonous function, poison. So that's in the Durnell. And in the process, you have to let it grow. And it grows, as it grows up, you're going to have what? Well, you're going to find there's very few grains. And this Durnell stays straight up like this. But the wheat, barley, can have 100 grains in the little stem of wheat. And then when it gets full grain, if I showed you pictures similar to this one, which you can't see, it's full of wheat. What do you see a field full of wheat when it's ready to harvest? They all bend. They bend. Durnell doesn't bend. It stays straight. You can quickly tell. You can't tell. It's growing. And besides, to complicate it, the devil's so smart, it tangles the roots of the Durnell, intertwine with the roots of the wheat. If we pull the Durnell up, we'll pull the wheat up. You got it? The devil is smart. Why can't we just get the believers? Ah, no, I'm going to so intertwine this thing that we can't find believers easy. We have to wait. Now hang on to that. That's what we're going to do. You need to understand the system. Devil's smart. And it's mixed like this. Now hang on, watch. We only get very far, but a little. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the wheat and the tares. Remember, they grow. You have to sit tight when they're growing up. And they're growing up and they intertwine themselves. So God, here we are looking in the age of grace after Calvary's cross, and we're looking in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, but of these times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you are not going to get caught. You should be smart enough to understand the tares and what's happening so that you don't get caught up in this. As a believer, verse 5, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. When is the devil going to sow the seed? During the night. That's the only time. You can't do it, obviously, because it won't work. You can't just put up, this is election, Marxism, communism. We're going to vote for communism. No, they won't do that. You got to disguise it. Therefore, in verse 6 again. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us wait, watch, and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet of and help for the and helmet the hope of salvation. In the light of understanding what? For God, verse 9, hath not, N-O-T, appointed us to wrath, which is the next thing after grace. So all of this parable, this wheat and tares, goes right through all the way to his coming. So God, I need to watch it, how it works. So therefore, if I can, in verse 9, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having looking to God, so here we are, and by the way, while you're here, you're near 2 Thessalonians, go to 2 Thessalonians, if you would, and you will note 2 Thessalonians, picking up in verse 3, speaking of the Antichrist. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed. What about the Antichrist, the man of sin? He is the son of perdition. He's the son. Perdition means destruction, ruin, waste, ruin. The Antichrist is a ruiner. He's destroyed, destroy. That's what he's going to do. What are the tares? They're the children of the wicked one. He's going to put them in, humans with humans, and mix them up, get them all mixed up, so that you can't tell who's who. Which church is right? Which people are right? Where do we go? Think of this morning. Well, we don't know. Who knows? Who's right? Who's wrong? You see? Presbyterians, the Baptists, etc. Now, so here's the son of perdition, the Antichrist. And plus, the children are the children of perdition, the children of the wicked one. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you can, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's add another piece. Ephesians in chapter 2, and picking up, if I may, in verse 2. Ephesians 2:2. Remember now, verse 1, you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, when we got saved, people got saved. Wherein in time past, you used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the ruler, prince of the power of the air, having authority, the god of this world is the nations under this world system, to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Disobedience means not, the word not, believing. They're not believing. Disobedient. Why are they disobedient? They're not believing. God commanded them to believe, and they don't want to believe. What is that? That's disobedience. Disobedience. It's translated disobedience. And so in the light of that, chapter 5, and picking up, please, Ephesians 5, and you'll see it again. Verse 6, let no man, 5:6, we're looking at, let no man deceive you with vain words, because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. They're not believing. What's going to happen? Grace is going to come to an end, and wrath begins. So here we are looking. Here's the seed planted, all of that happening in a most awesome way. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to James. James. And as we're looking, just it's a mixture. The believing heart should know the difference, but the believing heart is subject to deceit, to trickery, and to us believers have old natures, and our old natures aren't believing. That our old nature doesn't want to get saved. We want to get saved, but our inheritance from Adam doesn't want to be. So therefore, James chapter 4, and you would note, again, the enemy sowed the seed in the darkness. And in chapter 4, verse 4, here's a warning. This is to believers. A warning. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity, hostility. That's the word enemy, hostile. Friendship with the world, friendship with the world, is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy. Now there's your word again, is only this time it's enemy. Will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. So here we are looking, the enemy of God. Wow. And all of that is going to take place in an awesome way. And so here the believer heart is warned again and again to be understanding. You got an old nature, and you could be, hang on, we'll do it better, old nature. Over, if you would now, to put that quickly in focus, over to 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 11, I meant to do this before. In the light of the tares, so you see it. The devil's so smart. The bad guys are smart, I told you that. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, remember now, picking up, here's Paul telling the believers in Corinth, verse 4, directly, 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Understand the guilty ones, the guilty. It isn't a simple thing. Hang on. It isn't so simple. It's very mixed up people. That's why we shared this morning with that. It's very hard for us. Our concept of God is based on our world around us, church and Bible and people and pope and pastors and everything. It's whatever people are. And that's our view of God. Our view of God is flavored and fixed, unfortunately, because we're locked in. And therefore, how am I going to find good ground to produce fruit 100, 60, 30-fold, to show the evidence? The evidence of the relationship is by the fruit. The fruit belongs to God. God's wonderful saving person and grace, that's what fruit is. So when the believing heart is trusting God, the believing heart is saying, God, God is God. God in his grace and his mercy, etc. Now, so here, chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. The wheat is, what's the tare doing? It's imitating the wheat, making it look like it's all wheat, but it isn't all wheat. It looks like it's all good, but it isn't all good. It looks good, seems good, wow. Verse apostles of Christ, verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, not darkness. We're going to sow the seed in the dark, but it's going to look like, when you look in the morning, it looks like all the wheat is just wheat. Oh, no. No, there's tares. And the tares are coming up, and the servants knew something's different out here. Now, verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, his servants, the devil, also be transformed as the ministers, servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. He's going to mimic righteousness, the apostles, truth, God, Christ. He's going to mimic it. So here's all the churches, etc. And here they are. Wow, wow. The devil has to cripple God and his word and his working. And how are you going to do it? Get them all mixed up, all intertwined. Hang on. It's so hard then. Well, if I said that person can't be wrong, that group can't be wrong, they can't be wrong. No, it doesn't seem fair. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe they're wrong. See? We can't be clear. How are we saved? Why are we saved? God, awesome one, the awesome one. Wow. We lose it now. So therefore, looking at all of that in God's awesome way, and picking up, please, if I can, over in your Bible, over if you would in the wheat and the tares, looking at all of that, and picking up in the light of God going and doing what he does, and without taking time probably to do that part, think of Cain and Abel, and 1 John 3 and 12, Cain killed Abel. Who was Cain? Cain, because of the wicked one, there's your word, the evil one. Who influenced Cain? The devil did. The devil influenced Cain to kill Abel, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here we are looking, Matthew and chapter, if you would, and the devil, leave pieces out that may help. In John chapter 8, you know, verse 44, remember all the Jews were arguing that they're Jews. Aren't we Jews? Aren't we legitimate sons of Abraham, etc., etc.? And all of those things were true. The trouble is they had no relationship to God. So they're all intertwined, Judaism and God and the gospel. That's what Book of Galatians. Book of Galatians is what? To try to be, well, you got to be the law plus grace, you see. And no, it is, that's mixing it up. That's mixing it up now. So therefore, when we come to John chapter 8, 44, the Lord Jesus will say to them clearly, you are of your father, the what? The devil. That's what you are. Tares. It's right in the middle of everything. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and thinking of that, Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, picking up in thought, and allow me to go, 24, a wonderful section which we'll try to hit somehow here. Chapter 24, I may go, remember they want to know, verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, the destruction of the temple and all of that. Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, the end of the age, literally. What's going to be the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Because what's going to happen? Deception. And you know that. Hold your finger here just a moment and go over with me to 2 Timothy, and just note it in your mind if you haven't. 2 Timothy chapter 3, what do you know? The Apostle Paul is going to die under Nero. But he tells them clearly, what's it going to be like? What is it like then and going to be where we are? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And the worse and worse is just think of worse and going down the road, a road, and you're going the wrong road, and you go down the wrong road, worse, and you keep going, it's worser. You're going further in the wrong road, further away from the way you're going. Therefore, verse 13, Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And they don't even see the difference of what they're doing, and everyone's more or less following. So chapter 24, Matthew, back over there, deception, verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that you be not deceived, that man no man deceive you. 4, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Many. Just think of the word anti. Anti-God, against God. Anti-Christ, anti-Bible. Against. In place of A, at the same time, in opposition to. In place of, in opposition. Anti. Anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, etc. Now, so here we are, verse 6. And shall deceive many. Verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. 4. All these things must come to pass, but the end of what? Is not yet. Are there going to be wars? Yeah, it could be. There is one. Wow. Yeah. Wars and rumors. Don't be alarmed. They're going to be. But don't worry about it. They have to be. And verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, pestilences. That's the two things that triggered this whole mess worldwide for the nations to get so aggressive to everyone. Why our own country is being clipped. Why? Because the virus came in, and the virus made us very vulnerable. And then you add that to the global warming. The green, global warming. We've got to do everything. That's why they won't let the Israel, the fuel line from Israel to Italy, etc. And I shared that this morning with the head of the department there in White House said, we're green energy. We're green. We don't honor fossil fuels. We don't honor them at all. We don't give any money to them. And they didn't. No. So now, and therefore, in verse 24, pestilence, earthquakes, divers places. And verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. But then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. What? Isn't it clear? No. It's so intertwined. They're able to go and make it so that you if you're going to be clear-cut, you're going to get clipped. So you got to get follow deception, follow the false prophets, follow the thinking of the people that are there so that you can survive. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse 12, and because iniquity, lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you can last, if you cannot get killed in the process, you'll make it. But you could get killed in the process. So all of that's happening now, and we're sort of jumping ahead, but in the movement of it, to deception. Back to us, here we are. Deception, help me with that. Okay, over if you would please to 1 Corinthians. Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 15. Book of Acts, chapter 15. What is God doing now? What is God doing? He isn't trying to save the world. He's trying to save whosoever will believe in the world. The world has sown tares and complicated everything, so it isn't so easy at all to do. So can you go to the solid congregation of believers across the world somewhere that are assembled? Are they all saved? That's a question, isn't it? That's a hard question to say, to find a group of people that they're all really saved. That would be hard, wouldn't it, to go find them? You'd have to have just a handful. You can't have a lot of people because not likely, 5,000, not likely at all. Not likely. It's inconsistent. Now, therefore, chapter 15, what are you doing, God? If I can, in verse 14, Simeon, Peter said, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. What is God doing? He's trying to save whosoever's and place them with the Jew and Gentile into the wonderful body of our Lord Jesus Christ to demonstrate his saving grace in a most, most wonderful way. Chapter 20, that's what he's doing. Now, having done that, the devil isn't asleep. So when we come to chapter 20, verse 29, here's the church in Ephesus. Verse 29, here's Paul going to leave. For I know, Paul, Apostle Paul leaving the believers in Ephesus, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, that not sparing the flock. For, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Wow, that's going to happen. Wow, that's right. Every church, everyone got it. There's always what? Always something. Over, if you would please, in the light of that, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to see it. Simple thing, and you'll know it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What about the church in Corinth? And you will note, please, chapter 11, picking up in verse, directly in the light of it, on verse 18. And first of all, 1 Corinthians 11, 18. First of all, when you come together in the church assembly, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Why is that true, Paul? For reason, there must be also heresies among you. What for? That they may approve, they which are approved may be made manifest among them. Who's the real believer? Who has the truth? And therefore we have to have heresies. Where? In the church. What is the word heresy? Heresy has to do with a chosen opinion. I have an opinion. I have a way of thinking that's different than your way of thinking. And your way of thinking is different than our way of thinking. Heresy. Opinions. Opinions about all kinds of things. So there's division. There isn't clearness. It's a mixture. Mixture. Mixture, how much? Oh, who knows how mixture? It can be very devastating. Therefore, there be heresies. And so if you don't, if you're missing heresy, where is heresy to be found? Right? Galatians chapter 5. Where is heresy to be found? I need to know where to look for this guy. Galatians chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, in chapter 5, oh, you'll see it in the light of verse 19. Chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, made public, clear, plain, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now watch. This is our human nature. It's inside of us, our works. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and what's the last one? Heresy. Heresy. Well, where is it? It's in us. It's in us. And that's what keeps erupting. It keeps division. It keeps from unity. It keeps us because we got it. So God, as he looks down the road, you have to understand the second parable, wheat and tares. It isn't going to be a little the good guys and the bad guys. No, the good guys and the bad guys are going to get so intertwined. You won't know who the good guys are. So you're going to have to wait and let everything grow and work out, because otherwise there's no way. We can't do that. Just think of doing that now. All the real believers, and only God can pin it down, who's the real believer. Yeah, for sure, because everyone can tell us they're saved. People do tell us they're saved. We interview them, and they say, do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Oh, I believe, I believe. And they may not believe. They may not believe. But all we can do is take their word for it. They get baptized. All we can do is take their word. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Just, I do. And then we're gone. So it doesn't mean anything, does it? And they all sit there, maybe. So we can't go and say, all the real believers, only you. How do we find them? How do we do that? Because I'm a believer, but they may not be a believer. Mixture. Boy, that's just in the age of grace, let alone coming up in the tribulation, which is easier. You'll see it. Now, so therefore, the works of the flesh. So we aren't shocked at all about all of that. So God, you're going to go and tell us the works of the flesh, and we're going to have to understand that. And the warning is there. Think of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. Be not unequally yoked. Do not be unequally yoked to unbelievers. That's what it says. Verse 14. Make a difference between them. But how do we make a difference when we're all Christendom? It's hard. It isn't simple. And people say things, and you can't go, it may be true, it may not be true. I don't know. God knows. That's all I do. God knows, unless you're proving it with fruit, showing evidence that you're saved, showing it. And that's obvious then, because the plant is bearing fruit, and I can see the fruit. You hear the fruit. The God is my God. He's my God, you see. Fruit. So therefore, in the light of that, dear friends, so not be unequally yoked together. And in the process, we're going to have to go. Men are going to wax worse and worse, and they aren't going to get better. It isn't going to get easier. In fact, as we're closer to the end here, it's going to be harder and harder, because always to the end of every age, it gets darker and darker, and there's less and less light, and less and less. The compromise gets so bad, like in Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar's going to level the city. It's so bad. There's no way to fix it. God said judgment. That's all there can be. So therefore, God, here we are looking, the wheat and the tares. Wow. It's not a picnic. It's not easy. So who knows? Who knows? I don't know. All I know is I'm going to get aboard that boat when it comes, as it were. And so if you're saved, I don't know if anyone else is. I don't know who else is going to be there. I want to be there. That's where I want to be. But I don't know who else is going to be there. You say, I'm going to be, maybe, I don't know. Where's the evidence? You say, so God has to help us. It's real. It isn't a, so here's the, we're at the end. And the world system is getting very, very, very active, troubled and troubling, to say the least. So therefore, in closing, if I can, in the light of that, over to two things. One, 1 John chapter 5. Remember, God's taking a people out for his name. The wrath of God is coming. The tribulation's coming. It's all a mixture. And God said, you got to wait and let it all work out, because you're going to have to wait. Hang on. 1 John chapter 5. And picking up this as you come to the end, in verse 19. 5 and 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world that we live in lies in wickedness, and literally the wicked one. And we shared, it's an easy way to see lies. Think of a big long casket, a big long trench, better than a casket, a big long ditch where they put bare bodies, and the whole world's in that ditch. And the God of this world is in charge of the ditch. The whole world lieth in wickedness, the wicked one. And God's saving a whosoever out of it in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And those that aren't going to get saved, that's an awesome, awesome, awesome tomorrow. Now, in closing, over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. So what are we going to do? We can't figure things out, but we're going to have in our heart an understanding of God's wonderful grace. God's taking a people out for his name, and he's going to come at any moment. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to go, please, to chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 and 10, 1 Thessalonians. They are waiting. They got saved wonderfully. In verse 5, wonderfully saved, wonderful testimony. They're bearing fruit. All the people around, people knew they were saved. These are saved believers. That's what, in northern Greece, that's what they knew. Verse 10. And what are they doing? They to serve the living God, a true God, verse 9. Verse 10. And to wait for his Son out from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the great wrath to come. So God, that's what we're doing. What are they doing? They're waiting. What are they waiting for? And then God makes sure you understand. Verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant. 4:13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. In other words, they have gone home ahead of you. Verse 14. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So we're all going to get together at the Lord's return. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, the dead. In other words, all the believers are going to be gathered together at once up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, we're still on earth, and all of this is happening in the sky, we which are still here, like now, shall remain, shall be caught up, there's the word caught up, to be forcefully taken up, and that's, we have an English word, a Latin word, rapture, to be caught up in the air. The rapture, to be taken up, caught up together with them in the Lord, clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. We're waiting. That's what we're doing. And we're waiting. And you're going to say, well, I know the Lord is my personal Savior. And you can, and God bless you as you say that and enjoy that, exercise it. God, thank you for being my Lord and Savior. Thank you very, very, very much. And what am I? It's all mixture. How am I going to fix it? Who's going to go? Well, if the Lord were to come right now, which would be very good, but if I'm telling you he's coming right now, he won't. You understand? Because I can't tell you when. So therefore, make believe, though, and God comes. In a moment of time, how do I know I'm saved? You know, because in one moment of time, you're sitting here, and everything disappears in a microsecond, in the splitting of an atom second, and you're going to be gone. You aren't taking your clothes or your glasses or anything else. Understand? You're gone, and all the rest will stay. Now, God, how are you going to get the mixture cleared up? I'm going to take them just like that, one by one. In the moment, I'm going to call them, and they're all going to come. Boom! All going to go. And the rest of them what? Revelation 17, all the churches are what? They've been mixed up. All the churches are going to what? Keep going. Ecumenical 17, ecumenism, Rome, all of those wonderful, wonderful things that are happening. Rome, it's all going to be there. And the church is going to go, churches are merrily going to go along. But God has taken home the believers. That's what God has done. Well, interesting. A little bit. I hope I didn't confuse you too much. It's a whole lot of stuff. You need to understand all the pieces. And I hope I can give you a couple of them. Anyway, we'll look to the Lord. I hope it's a wonderful thing. On the other hand, If you aren't saved, it's a horrible thing. I can't tell you how horrible it is. I mean, I don't understand it. Eternity, gnashing of teeth forever. That's horrible. I mean, that's awesome. All because they didn't believe. I can't tell you how sobering that is, but the average person isn't thinking of that. But it's going to be. No way out of it. Wow. Okay. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace, your kindness, and all of your wonderful working. God, as we stumble through all this and try to learn a little bit, try to understand how the ages are going to, how the time is going to go, even your soon coming, the tribulation, even up to God, the kingdom to come after that. God, all of this stuff has to happen. All of it is taking place in one form or another, and we're waiting like a good farmer. We're waiting as everything has to outwork itself, waiting for impatiently like Job, waiting for your soon coming. So deal with us inch by inch, God. We aren't going to fix everything, and everything isn't fixable. So God, and people are people, they're going to do and say and think, and it's unfixable, God. But we can certainly try to bear fruit. We certainly can try to be good ground. And God, to trust you with all our heart, thank you that we can. In Christ's name, amen.